Welcome to A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast. I'm Dave Douglas.
And I am Michael Bates. We have a very special guest.
Yes.
Mark Turner, fantastic saxophone player and, you know, very influential jazz musician, for sure, and all-around great guy.
And this was a really a surprising conversation for me. First of all, Mark didn't want us to play any of his music, which we'll probably do that anyway,
yep.
But he really just wanted to talk, and so very interesting results.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy it.
Mark Turner, it is great to have you here on the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's fantastic. I think I said something that's very interesting to me that might not be interesting to anyone else, but it is, you know, it's be a subject.
What is that?
I just, you know, for the last few years, maybe we could play some things that you can get on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the last few years, I've been just trying to figure out, I kind of avoided the blues for a long time, mainly partly just like, what is it, you know? There's so much of it in our culture, and you know, you hear it in jazz and all kinds of American music and music of the Americas. So I kind of avoided it because there are people that can really do it,
yes,
whether it's on a blues or something else. And then other times I felt like, well, you're supposed to do it, but then it would just feel contrived. So I felt like it was such a deep, beautiful, sacred thing that I don't want to mess it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go in there and be another one that's kind of... It's one of those things that's so simple, it's sublime because of that. And the ones that really know it can really, at least in my opinion or what I feel. So I'm just trying to figure it out, you know?
Now, when you're talking about the blues, are you talking about like a 12-bar blues?
Or not just a 12-bar blues, no. I mean...
The meaning of,
I don't even know all of it, but I know it's more than a 12-bar blues. I'm trying to figure it out.
The musical culture.
The musical culture of it, just the sound of it, the people who speak in a way that are maybe, I don't know if you want to call them blues people, whatever. And that can be, that doesn't necessarily mean African-American people, it just means people are in that culture, and that's, somehow it comes out, and I feel that that's, you know, it's in the Americas. We're used to hearing it. I think it was part of us, you know. I avoided in that. Anytime I felt it coming, whatever it would come to like that, I'd be like, all right, I can tell this is going to be some bullshit. It's not going to be, or I'm not going to hit the mark. I'm not going to be really in there. I could tell, and sometimes I would, because I hadn't spent enough time on it. It would sound like what I didn't like about it. So I'd, you know, I'm going to maybe touch and just move on to some other place that feels at the moment more authentic. So, I don't know if that helps to explain, but that's the way I felt about it. When I say avoided it, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
beginning, I started by trying to write it, do it through just putting in tunes that I wrote, just little bits, just to see, okay, I can, composition, at least you can look at it and wait and see, okay, this is cool, it's not, you can stand back. When you're playing, it's, you either hit it or you don't, right then, bam. Yeah. So, you know, playing requires, you play, you reflect, practice, think about it, and you come back again. Same like composition, but at least in the moment, that's it, right then. So, so I tried it with that a little bit, and then gradually, it, you know, you guys can stop me at any point.
No, this could be really long. Fascinating. Keep going. Keep going.
So, you know,
well, it's also like, I mean, with, I mean, I don't want to stop you either, but what I'm wondering while you're talking is like, when you keep saying it,
now, like, yeah,
I, you know, I put it, and then
it right. meaning any, it meaning my attempt, my attempt at the blues
to reference.
To reference what
feeling,
I, my feelings what, about it, whatever it is, and put it into musical form, whether written or played. That's what I mean by it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
more or less?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
But it's so personal and subjective.
Yeah, it is.
But you have
course.
To decide from moment to moment.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
What
it's so
it
subjective.
Is and how
Absolutely.
You deal with it and whether it's authentic
exactly.
in your own.
Exactly. That's
to
what
your
I,
voice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's when I decide, okay, let me figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And I knew that it would be that it would be exactly what you're saying. It's really subjective, figure out what it means to me.
But there's a lot of books about it.
Of course, yeah, there are a whole lot of books about
not
it.
Really.
Of course, yeah. I mean, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm speaking about, you know, my personal feelings about it and
of course,
my connection with it. I don't know about the larger view and culture, that's way beyond me.
Playing jazz for many years.
I've been playing jazz for
maybe you don't think of it as jazz.
I know jazz. Yeah, I think of it as jazz. You know, in this music, improvised music from the Americas. You know,
right.
I think that's what we call it, as far as I know.
Right.
So
but
when
I mean,
you
there's
know.
Always a component of blues. In there
yeah, there's always a component. There's always a component of it, and I. That's the thing, which was. See, for me, is the more I tried to address it, the more the other things about jazz, as far as I'm concerned, all the other things, meaning especially the rhythm, relationship to the bass and drums, the harmony too, became more and more clear. And they still are. I'm not saying that I can do it now. All I can say is I have a little bit of a closer relationship to what it is, all these issues and things, than I did before because I didn't sit down and actively take a look at them. You know, where am I deficient? Where am I, what am I better at? Who are the people that give me this feeling of what I think the blues is? Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
Who do I relate to? Who do I not relate to? I just started with just that, and I still do. Yeah. Still looking for it. And now, you know, as with anything, you know, there's things that you run by in life, music, cars, clothes, television shows, whatever. You see something in them, and then you take a look back 5 years, 10 years later, or even a month later, based on some other, you know, some life experience, and it looks different to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, just like you're shopping, you're all interested in cars, and, you know, say, oh, wow, you didn't notice whatever, you know, the tires on such and such before. Same thing with the blues. I'm listening back to the same tunes, music, anyway.
So
you know
who are you checking out?
So I right now, I've really gotten into Harold Land.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, or at least for me.
Yeah.
Some else might say, oh, that's bullshit, whatever, but I was like, that's the thing I want to get to and figure out. If I figure that out, we'll be part of it. So, but Harold Land is a big one right now, and then I was just listening to this, for some reason I started listening to some I just was listening to Horace Silver and his comping, and then I heard, man, it was just, you know, I'd heard these tunes before, but then I was like, oh, okay. I heard it in a way that I didn't hear it before. So I was listening to Cool Eyes. It was a live recording on YouTube, which you can get. And his solo was just, in terms of that and everything else, it was so incredible. I couldn't believe it. It was just like, okay, wow. Anyway, so that and more about Harold Land, especially in the early 70s and late 60s. Huh. Something about his sound, especially about those West Coast tenor players usually that came from around Texas, Oklahoma, and then went to the West. I really relate to that expression. Dexter isn't from, he's not from Texas, but he's also from the West Coast.
Yeah,
Dexter. I also like the way he deals with whatever, the blues and all that. Those are three in particular. And also, you know, also Arnett and also Dewey. They all have that thing.
Right, I was going to say.
The James West Coast.
Clay, yeah.
James Clay, that's right. Yeah. James Clay.
James Clay. Oh, that's who.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, not right. Black.
He's on a guy. Don Cherry record called
exactly.
Art Deco.
That's the one. Yes, Anyway, they have this West Coast, this mystery. You don't get in the East Coast, but there's some kind of Wild West mystery about it. I don't know what it is. Wide open.
I think it's the eucalyptus thing. Trees, really.
I hear you. I actually agree with that. I do. I kind of miss those, I have to say. For those of you that don't know, I'm from the West Coast.
Period, and you were playing with Kurt Rosenwinkel a lot, and that music, I wouldn't say that it was devoid of blues feeling and flavor, if anything.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a lot of stuff in there.
No, I agree. There
great
was.
Great music.
That's true. But what about it? Like, I not dealing with it? I would say I wasn't.
No, I'm bringing it up because it's surprising me to hear you say this, that you're only dealing with it now, and that was, you know, some years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that I can't say that I totally avoided anything that sounded remotely like the blues at all. I would just say that I didn't pay as, I felt I wasn't ready to pay as much close attention to it. I was doing all these other things that felt more immediately
about,
important.
You've talked about Warren Marsh a
yes,
lot.
Yes, that's true.
And do you feel like that's a different sound entirely than what you're talking about now?
I think they're all related. I feel like basically all the masters then, I think it was maybe easier for them to access. Seems like they all had it in some way. Maybe the way that I'm thinking about it is less involved with Warren Marsh and those, you know, Lenny Tristano, Lee Konitz. Although, you know, it's in them too, in a great way, you know, in a way that's, maybe in some ways I got a little bit of it from them too. You know, that's very sad, you know, and That's what I like about the West Coast sound of those guys that I was just talking about. Yeah. There's more of a sadness to the blues instead of a, forthrightness about it.
Didn't,
I relate to the other one.
Didn't Warren Marsh talk about coming out of Lester Young?
Absolutely. That's
or
what
was
I mean.
That?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. He has that, you know, whatever it is, the sadness, the subtlety, relaxed, mystery, I don't know what, but... So I don't feel like it's separate from it. It's just another part of it. You know?
Yeah.
For sure. It's definitely involved
it's
with it.
It's a deep, deep study, though, isn't it?
That's for
never
sure.
Never ending.
Yep, never ending. Lifetime study.
You're
lifetime
talking
dedication.
So far a lot about...
Well, you laugh, but it's, you know, I mean...
I laugh, but it's because I love it. I mean it.
Young musicians in programs or informally or whatever, and you start talking about music, and people talk about you as an influence a lot, and you're aware of that, and that's a really powerful thing. And you know, I always want to say, well, you know, have you asked Mark Turner, you know,
what he's
thinking about? So if they did, they might be as shocked. Well, that how deep the study, you know, profound it is to go into that. And
sure, for all of us. The other thing for me was, you know, playing with, you know, I've spent most, probably like most of us, I don't know, I'll say for myself, I spent most of my time playing with my peers, which I think is important, I love it, and I wouldn't change it. Mm-hmm. But when I started, you know, thinking, okay, what's the blues all about? What is it? Can I do it? All that stuff. I found that it was maybe easier. I got more information or learned more when I played with older musicians. Meaning, for example, Billy Hart, Paul Motion. Mm-hmm. That's when I was trying to figure it out. The more I would go in there, and let's say when the feeling came, and I decided, okay, I'm not going to be afraid of it. It's another thing about that. I think music in general, but for me, the blues is just. One, just dealing with fear, taking a look at myself. What's the deal with me? What am I afraid of? And the more I dive into it, of course, the more fun music gets, the more interesting it gets, and the better it sounds. In other words, the more naked it sounds, the more the more I discover things that I didn't know, and then I try and suss them out. But once I try to do it, specifically, there are a few gigs, especially recently, the more the deeper the swing would get.
Right.
You know, even if I didn't play something rhythmic, it was just instantly like a few bars. I'd be, whoa, what the hell's going on now?
Mm, great.
It's like diving into infinity. It's like once it starts and you're in it, it's like you're accessing, you know, the past, the present, and the future, and you can play anything in a way. course, you can do that. Yeah, in a way, you can do that with anything. But there's something about it, something about the folklore. I don't know what it is. That's what it feels like.
Well, it's also about allowing yourself to do it.
Yes, of
maybe
course.
In a way that you do.
Absolutely, that too. It's ever gotten closer. It's just been, let's see, since 2008 around.
Wow.
Until now.
But now it's getting half filled.
That's sorry. A long time.
But you
have
that's when I changed. And the mouthpiece and the
Yeah, that's when it changed, and it's gradually gotten better and better. So now it's finally gotten as close. So I think I need to get closer, but now it's in the zone. Before it was I had this other setup, was close to the zone, but I wanted something that would allow me to get more edge, but it couldn't, so I just had to make it happen now that I have one that does.
You have this pretty amazing solo saxophone record that I actually just recently came across. I didn't know it existed, and in looking around, I came across it, and it's spectacularly beautiful.
Well, thanks, I appreciate it.
And you're dealing with harmony in a way on your own, like kind of addressing it at the same time, especially like the first piece.
I don't remember which one is which, but it's like...
Yeah. There's a lot of counterpoint, and you're playing two parts at once. Mm-hmm. How did this record kind of come about, and how did you... Is this something that you've been doing in the practice room, dealing with developing two ideas at the same time, or dealing with harmony and then playing melodically over top of it? Can you talk about... some of that approach?
So yeah, in terms of the solo material and that in particular, a lot of that came out of I just love harmony and just trying to figure out how to get as much harmony as I can out of a single line instrument. Just, in other words, not a chordal instrument. You know, when you're on a G7, it's not just G7. It's many versions of it, manifestations, yeah, because of the voice leading and the melody that you're playing. Why did it sound so logical? How come it always worked? How come, what's the right note? Mm-hmm. You know, you might play a note that's correct, but that's not the right note. Mm-hmm. Which one is it? So just, I was trying to figure out a way to figure, one, at least one way that, to help me try and figure that out. Of course, I haven't figured it out, but it helps. Yeah. Part of that also, when I started playing with Kurt, and other music in that time period that our generation was writing, other stuff too, but the harmony I found often was very specific, and there are only certain things that you could play on certain parts and nothing else.
I was
trying to figure out what those things are and why, how come I can't play these other things that fit, but they just don't sound right. Kind of like when you're playing a Monk tune. Mm-hmm. Certain things, that's what you have to play, and that's it. You can't just go play, you can play all your stuff, but that's not what you need to be doing. Yeah, I did talk about it some, but not as much detail. Whatever. Not that I'm talking about in detail now, but there's a little bit.
It was interesting because somebody asked you a question about, you know, how do you develop the lines and the way of thinking over chords. And,
okay, right. Yeah.
You know, you were appropriately reticent to start getting into it. It's a room full of musicians and everybody's kind of like, here we go, you know. You know, and you're such a great moment because you were like, okay, well, let's say you took a tune like Stella, you know, and you might, you know, play the root and then you would play the third and the seventh.
Okay, right. Okay.
And you would spread it over three octaves. Mm-hmm. And then,
okay.
And then you worked your way all the way through the tune, you know, and then at the end you wrapped it up by saying, "So okay, everybody got it."
All right, so.
But this sounds like continuing to develop and making new rules and right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. So that was our interview with Mark Turner.
Super fascinating.
Yeah, he's great. And, you know, he's been playing on this new... There's your dog again in the background.
That dog.
He's been playing with Tom Harrell quite a bit on this new project. And I got to play with Tom recently, the Bergamo Jazz Festival artistic director Enrico Rava.
The other great trumpet player.
Another great trumpet player asked me to, you know, create a special event.
Oh, wow. I did not know about
this.
So I
invited Tom Harrell to come and play with the band. And he wrote a couple tunes and just played so beautifully. It was a really special thing. I hope to circle back around to that someday.
Yeah. Wow. I would have loved to have heard that.
Really, really amazing musician. I think maybe what was I wouldn't say it was surprising, but what was really inspiring was, you know, not only did he write the new tunes for the project, but he also, the attention and the energy that he put into learning my tunes was really remarkable. And he played them really differently than how I play them, but it was beautiful and appropriate and lovely.
That's great. Why don't we go out with a Tom Harrell piece?
Okay. Thanks for listening. Send us an email, podcast@greenleafmusic.com. Pick up other episodes at iTunes.
See lots of them now.
Thank you.